Hafaday, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Aaron Coffey. It was presented in January of 2007. The title of the message, Sold for Him.
Exodus chapter number 3. We have a story that's maybe well known by a lot of you. It's the story of Moses at the burning bush. It's really a unique story. You know what? God took the first 40 years of his life to help Moses, or Moses the first 40 years, I'm sorry, thought that he was a somebody. God took the next 40 years of his life to really show him he was a nobody. But then you know what? After this scene right here, there's something that happens to Moses because he goes out of this situation and he knows that God is everything. And he knows that he can be a leader. He knows that he can take a stand. Something happened to Moses in this story. You know what? Something happened to Moses that I think needs to happen to some of you. He saw God. He met God. God came and talked to him out of this bush, and it changed his life. And my prayer today is that God will come out and he will talk to you out of this book, and he will change your life. I hope that today it is almost as though we need to take the shoes off of our feet because the ground on which we stand is holy ground. Guys, Moses had excuses. He said, yeah, but God, what about this? Yeah, but God, what about that? And the same excuses Moses made are the same excuses we make. But God gave him promise after promise after promise after promise. And the same promises that God gave to Moses, God gives to you. And you know what? You can leave here right now serving God with all your heart. Because God will give to you what God gave to Moses. We're going to look at this conversation between God and Moses through Exodus chapter number 3 and then into chapter 4. Let's just pray as we get started here and ask God to meet with us and to help us. Father, we come before you. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will speak to us. Lord, you're not going to speak to us out of a burning bush today. But Lord, I do believe that you will speak to us through your word. Lord, I believe that it's alive. I believe that it works. I believe that it changes people. And Lord, I pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit that you will take your word and Lord, that you will change people today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want us to start in Exodus chapter number 3, verse 10. God's talking to Moses, just simply tells him what he wants him to do. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God says, I want you to go down to Egypt and to lead the people out. Listen to what Moses says. And Moses said unto God, first of all, this is his first excuse. Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring the children out of Egypt? Now, he makes a pretty easy excuse to me. It seems pretty logical. He just says, who am I to do this? You know what? He could look back and he could obviously see past failures. He's thinking in his mind, God, I've tried this once and I failed. You want me to go try it again? Are you sure? Who am I to do this? You know what? I can personally look back at past failures in my life. Times when I tried to take a stand. Times when I tried to do what's right. Maybe just this past September, God did a work in your heart. And you say, you know what? I'm going to take a stand. And you're sitting here today and you say, yeah, but God, I took a stand for a little while, but I fell back. Maybe you can look back last year this time, last Spirit Days, or Spirit Week 2 years ago, and you say, you know what? I really wanted to do what's right. I wanted to take a stand. I wanted to be a leader. I wanted to serve God with all of my heart. But I failed. You know what? Moses failed, and he failed miserably. And he obviously looked back, and because of that, he just simply asked the question, who am I? Who am I to do this? But I want you to listen to what God tells him. And he, verse 12, and he, God said, certainly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token to thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. He promised Moses two things, and he promises us the same two things. First of all, he told Moses, Moses, I'm going to be with you. He promised Moses his presence. He said, Moses, you're not going alone. You will not be alone. You're not going to go stand before Pharaoh alone. I'm going with you. You know what, teenager? Have you ever thought about the fact that God's with you everywhere you go? You never walk down the halls of this school without God being with you, if you're a Christian. You never go into class and God's not with you. You never go into the lunchroom without God being with you. You never go home without God being with you. You see, the Bible tells us, God tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 13, 5 through 6, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee. This is something he has said to you, Christian. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Listen to this. I will not fear what man can do to me. I will not fear because God is my helper. He's with me. Guys, listen, you know, there was a lot of testimonies today about not living in fear of man. And really and truthfully saying, you know, I'm going to live for the audience of God, the audience of one. All that matters is what God thinks. And you know what? Someday when this life is over and you're standing before the King of Kings, you're going to live for the audience of one then. And you're going to give, you would give anything if you'd live for the audience of one while you were on this earth. The Bible tells us that God is with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Now, the presence of God is either a conviction or it's a comfort. I hope it to be a comfort. But if you're running from God, if you're living in sin, the presence of God is a conviction. It's a conviction. It's like a nightmare. You can't get away from it. Have you ever had a horrible nightmare? Man, you're running from God. Or you're running from something. You're in a nightmare. And I mean, you're running from something in this house. You go downstairs and it's there. You go upstairs, it's there. You try to hide in the closet, it's there. You try to crawl under the bed and it's there. You can't get away from it. Folks, you don't want the presence of God to be like that for you. And I think some of you in here, it is. Right now, you are trying your best to hide. Because you know that God knows what's going on in your life. God knows. The presence of God can be like a nightmare, but you know what? It can also be like a dream come true. To know no matter what, even if everybody around me is failing, I can take a stand and God's with me. He knows. This was the promise to Moses. Moses, I'm with you. You're not going into Egypt alone. And my friend, God's with you. But then he also tells him, Moses, you know what else? Not only am I with you, he said this, the second half of that part, verse number 12 still, he says this, and this shall be a token to thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. You know what he promised him? He said, you know what, Moses, you're going to go in there, you're going to lead all those people out, you're going to worship me right here on this mountain, right where you're standing. He promised him success. He promised him that he would be successful in serving God if he would just go and do it. Now, what is success? Does that mean like money? You're going to be like a millionaire? If you serve God, no, that's not what it means. But God has promised success. He's promised that if you will serve Him and you will obey Him, that you will be successful in this life. Now, define success. God defines it. God defines what true spiritual success is. But you know what? You will be successful in your spiritual life if you will obey and you will surrender and you will commit yourself to God. Then Moses continues on, and the next point that he shows, first of all, he shows his lack of adequacy, but then secondly, he shows his lack of authority. He says unto God, Moses says in verse 13, okay, God, and you can just kind of hear him as he's working in his brain about whether or not he's really going to trust God that he can do this. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they say unto me, what is his name? What will I tell him? He's showing a lack of authority. God, I don't have any authority. Maybe you're sitting here and you're like, who am I to stand up and take a stand in my school? Man, I'm a nobody. You know what? Moses was a nobody compared to Pharaoh. He had no authority. You know what? God tells him something that's amazing. And God said to Moses, verse 14, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent you. Look at the last phrase of verse number 15. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. I don't have time to get into this name of God, but this was a name that God gave himself. I am. What would you do if somebody introduced themselves to you and you said, hey, my name's, you know, Freddie. And you said, hey, my name's, and this person said, my name's I am. What kind of a name would that be? But that's the name God gives himself. And it's the same Hebrew root as we get the word Yahweh or the name Jehovah. It's the biggest and the greatest name for God. And you know what he said to Moses? He said, listen, Moses, Jehovah's sending you. And you do too have authority to take a stand. You do too have authority to do what's right. And let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ was on that mountain and he was getting ready to ascend up into heaven, you know what? He gave his authority to the people that were there. And that same authority in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that Jesus Christ gave to those people, you know what Jesus Christ has given to us? We have the authority of Almighty God backing us when we take a stand for him. You are not standing alone, and you do have the right and the authority as a Christian to do what's right. Moses isn't satisfied. I want you to look on down into Exodus chapter number 4, verse 1. Exodus chapter number 4, verse 1, and Moses answered and said, okay, he's still just going on with the Lord, talking and just bringing up all of these struggles that he's having in his soul, and maybe you have the same struggles. He says, okay. He said, Lord, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto you. And at this point, Moses is showing his lack of authenticity. You say, what do you mean by that? He's saying, Lord, they're not going to listen to me. They're going to think I'm a big phony. They're going to say, the Lord didn't appear unto you. He said, God, they're not going to believe me. It's not going to work. The plan won't work, God. But I want you to notice, just back up into chapter number 3 and look at verse number 18. Just the very first phrase. Chapter number 3, verse 18. Listen to what the Lord said. And they shall hearken to thy voice. And then as soon as you get into chapter 4, verse 1, what is that, 6 verses later? And Moses says, yeah, but God, they won't believe me nor hearken to my voice. You know what he just told God? He said, God, the problem is this. You want to know what the real problem in my soul is, God? I don't trust you. I don't believe you. I wonder if there's some teenagers in here, and the reason you don't take a stand for God is because you really and truthfully don't believe God. You don't believe that he's with you. You don't believe that he goes up and down these halls with you. You don't believe his plan will work. The real problem is you don't trust God. You know what Moses just got through saying? He didn't come right out and say it, but you know what he just got through saying? God, you're not trustworthy. I think you're not being honest with me, God. Because they won't listen to me. I know you just told me they would, but no, they won't. You know what God said to Moses over the next 9 verses? He said, Moses, I want you to take your hand, put it inside your robe. Pull it out. When he pulled it out, there was leprosy all over his hand. He said, Moses, I want you to put it back in your cloak. When he pulled it out again, it was made whole again. Leprosy is a horrible disease. He said, Moses, I want you to take your rod and throw it on the ground. It became a serpent. Take it up again by the tail. When he picked it up, it became a rod once again. Those next 9 verses right there explain to us that God gave Moses his power. And you know what happened when he went down into Egypt. All of the plagues, all of the things that God caused to happen at Moses' hand. God gave Moses his power. He says, Moses, you just obey me. You just listen to me. You just take a stand. You just do what's right and trust me because I'm going to give you my power. Now, I got a question for you, and this is a big question, and you need to deal with this question, every single one of you sitting here. If you are a Christian, if you're not a Christian, none of this applies to you. But if you're a Christian, you need to ask yourself this question. According to God's word, do I have the power of God? Do I have the power of God? Do I have it? Is it here? Is it true? And you know what the Bible tells us? That when a person gets saved and the Holy Spirit of God comes in, that we have power. Once again, Jesus on that mount, as he is getting ready to ascend into heaven, he says, and after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, ye shall have power. And you will become witnesses unto me You'll take a stand for me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. You know what the power of God is? It's not the power to send things flying across the room. We talked about that on Tuesday when we were talking about the fear of man and how the Bible tells us that God gives us not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power. It's a power to do what's right. When nobody else is, there's something in you. It's called the Holy Spirit of God, and you have a power to do what is right, to take a stand. And it doesn't matter if you get stabbed in the back by your best friend, God becomes a better friend. And you're taking a stand, and you're doing what's right, and you have the power of God in your life. Because I want you to see that Moses is still struggling. Moses is still struggling, and I want you to listen to what we find. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, listen to what Moses says. And maybe in your Bible, this is a little hard to understand the way it's written, but I'll tell you what it says. Well, actually, that's the next part right here. Verse number 10, listen to what he says. And Moses said unto God, Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. At this point, I want everybody to listen, because this is where I think a lot of teenagers fall apart and they stop serving God. You know what Moses just said? He showed a lack of ability. He started pulling up things that were matter with him physically, and he said, God, because of this, I can't serve you. He showed a lack of ability. I don't know what was the matter with Moses' tongue. I don't know if he had a speech impediment. I don't know if he stuttered. I don't know what it was. Maybe he had a southern accent like I do. You know, maybe he was from southern Egypt. But you know what? He said, God, you know that I'm slow of speech. I'm of a slow tongue. He said, God, you know that I have a problem. And because of this, he was saying that he didn't have the ability to do it. And you know what? I wonder how many teenagers here, really and truthfully, you look at your life and you look at whatever, you maybe look at your physical whatever, and you say, you know what? I can't do it. I want to tell you something. You know what God said to him? God didn't look at him and say, oh, Moses, you're right. Oh, I blew it. Moses, you're right. You can't do it. You are messed up, Moses. Man, when I had you going through the assembly line of life and I was putting you together like Mr. Potato Head, man, I put his tongue in your mouth. You're right, Moses. I blew it. You can't serve me. Now, I want you to listen to what God said. Look in verse number 11. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now, therefore, go. And I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what to say. You know what? He didn't give Moses any excuses. He said, Moses, I want you to listen to me. I made your mouth. Just like I make people who are blind, and I make people who can't walk, and I make people who are deaf. I want you to know something, Moses. I don't make mistakes. You know what? I get so sick and tired of looking at teenagers. And they stand there and they play this whole little comparison game. If I was like her, I mean, look at her. She's just so bubbly and she just has this great personality and she's just so pretty. I mean, look at her hair. I mean, if I was like her, I would take a stand. I could be a leader, but I'm not. And so you sit on the sidelines and you do nothing for God. Guy is the same thing. You say, man, if I was like him, I mean, he's so cool. Everybody likes him. If I was like him, I'd take a stand. If I was like him, I would be a leader. If I was like him, I mean, look at him. He's cool. Everybody likes him. He's a good athlete. If I was like him, I'd take a stand, but I'm not. And so you sit on the sidelines and you do nothing. You know what? Every single one of you, you know what God showed Moses? He showed Moses that, Moses, I have a plan for you, and I have made you perfect to fulfill the plan I have for you. There's no mistakes, Moses. I didn't blow it. I didn't mess up. This is another question that you need to deal with. Do you believe, Christian, that God has a specific personal plan for you? I'm not talking about the person sitting beside you. I'm talking about you. God has a plan for you. And everything about your life is perfectly organized for you to accomplish the plan He has for you. Everything about you, you're made perfect. Your circumstances are perfect. You have just the parents God wanted you to have. There wasn't a mistake made. You were made physically just like God wanted you to be. Everything about your life, it's kind of like when you get saved, God enrolls you in a curriculum of life, and everything about your life is perfect. There's no mistakes. You know, a curriculum in school, you kind of start at the beginning of the semester. By the end, you've hopefully learned this much information. God enrolls you in a curriculum of life. It starts when you get saved. It ends in heaven. And when you get done, you're going to look like Christ. And all along the way, God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't blow it. I don't care what your physical things are. I don't care what your personality things are. I don't care what they may be. I don't care what your hang-up is. God has a plan for you, and I promise you, it's for you to serve Him. It's for you to serve Him, and there is nothing that is a worthy excuse. Guys, because God made you, and He made you perfect for what He has planned for you. But you know what, guys? Moses is still struggling. And I want you to listen to what Moses says in verse number 13. And Moses, and he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. Now you say, that's kind of awkwardly worded. Let me tell you exactly what Moses said. He said, God, would you please just send somebody else? God, would you just find somebody else? I just want to stay here and stay with these stupid, stinky sheep. I don't want to be a leader. I don't want to do it. And guys, I want you to look at verse number 14, just the first part. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Look up here. You know what, guys? God was long-suffering. He was patient. He was loving, He was kind, He was reassuring, He was comforting over and over and over and over and over and over again. And I believe that is the nature of our God. He is so slow to anger. He is so ready to give us comfort and help and love and reassurance. He's so patient and long-suffering. But you know what? You will eventually hold God at bay. And there will come a time where in His love, He will say, that's enough. And that's where Moses was. God had given him promise after promise after promise after promise. And then you know what it was? It was almost like a person saying, God, thanks for the promises, but no thanks. God, thanks for Christ. Thanks for the cross. Man, thanks for heaven. I really want to go to heaven someday. I can't wait. But no thanks. I'm not going to serve you today. I'm not going to take a stand at Harvest Christian Academy or Harvest Christian School. I'm not going to take a stand, God. Sorry. Thanks, but no thanks. And you hold God at bay. And I'm going to tell you, some of you in here, I wonder when the time's going to come when the anger of the Lord is kindled. He's long-suffering and He is patient, but there will come a time, if you are His child, when He will say, enough is enough. And it will be because He loves you and He wants you to fulfill the purpose that He has for your life. It's not because He hates you. It's because He loves you. Guys, listen. This last point, Moses shows a lack of availability. He shows a lack of availability. He says, God, I'm not available. Back off. Have you ever told God to back off? You say, man, I would never say those words. But you know, maybe you said with your life, God, back off. I wonder if some of you told God to back off this week. God, back off. Leave me alone. I don't want it. You know what? You're not rejecting me. I don't matter. I don't matter. It doesn't matter to me. I don't matter. But guys, don't say no to God. You see, when you get saved, it's kind of like your life is a house, and you kind of invite God into your house and he comes in. I remember when I got saved, I was 21, and remember I had a lot of sin in my life. I mean, it was instantaneous. I mean, I'm like getting sin out of my life. Lord, come in. Here, you can have all of this. You can have, here's the den. Here's the kitchen. Here's the living room, the bathroom. You can even have the utility closet. You can have everything. God, this is my life. Man, I had all these big sins I'm giving to God. But you know, your life has so many different parts to it. And you know what? It was like, it wasn't long, maybe a couple months, and God's like, hey, what's upstairs? And you're like, oh yeah, upstairs. Yeah, come on, God, I'll give you that too. And here you can have this. And there's constantly, all through my life, there's been things that I have to give to God. I have to be available in every area of my life. I have to be willing to give it all to him. And guys, even still to this day, I'm 32 years old. I've been saved for 11 years this month. You know what? God still comes up to little closets of my heart, little closets of my life, and says, hey, what's in there? And I know what I keep in my little closets. And I have to come and I have to say, God, here, you can have this. And maybe they're just little things. Maybe there's just little things that I keep holding on to, but maybe God's knocking on your, maybe God wants your MySpace account. Maybe God wants the little things in your closet that you love so much. And the question is, are you available to give them to him? Are you available to give God every area of your life? Or are you going to say, God, you know, I've given you this, I've given you that. Just back off. You know what you're saying? You're saying, God, thanks for the cross. Thanks for Christ. Thanks for salvation. But would you just back off? I'm not available. You know, I wonder how many here you would really say, you know, my life is a life that's totally and completely available to God. I'll take a stand for him. I'll do what's right for him. You know what, guys? God wants your life. He bought your life with his own blood if you're a Christian. Guys, don't hold God at bay. Don't tell God to back off. You need to be available in every area of your life.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled Sold for Him from Evangelist Aaron Coffey. It was originally presented in January of 2007 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. You can send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.